Good morning, world. Today's daf in the Sechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin. So, we've been explaining the new concept of a Nazirut Tum'ah. And there's two different situations of a Nazirut Tum'ah. The simple situation of a Nazirut Tum'ah is where a Nazir was minding his own business. He was a regular Nazir, keeping all of the dinim. And then he became Tameh, the Tumas Meis. So there we have the status that during the time that he is Tameh, his days do not count towards his actual Nazirus, but nonetheless, all of the dinim of the Nazirus are still Chal on him, so he's not allowed to do any of the Surah Nazir, and if he does, as we saw, he's Chayav Malkus. But we have a different special case of a Nazirus Tumah, which was introduced by our Mishnah, and that was when the person was mekabel the Nazirus initially while he was in a state of Tumah. So he was mekabel the Nazirus when he was in the Beit HaKvarot, which means that he never ever began his Nazirus Tahara. So we thought we had very clearly understood in the Mishnah that for all intents and purposes, it sounded to us in the Mishnah that he was really a Nazir, and that the only difference is that there was no chiyuv in the event that he was actually exposed to the type of tumah that would be soter the nazirut. There would be no chiyuv of bringing the special korban, and there would be perhaps no chiyuv of tiglachat as well. We weren't talking about exactly that then yet, which we'll get to. But in every other sense, we assumed he was a nazir. Suddenly, yesterday, we saw that it was machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that seemed to revolve right around that issue itself. Because according to Reish Lakish was reported to have said that the Nazirus was actually not chal on him so long as he was in the Beit HaKvarot. And that only at such point where he leaves the Beit HaKvarot and he becomes Tahar, and then he also says verbally that, okay, now I'm ready to get ahead with my Nazirut, and he's Makabal, his Nazirut. So at that point, he would become a Nazir fully. But without that, it wouldn't be a real Nazirut. That's what we thought that Reish Lakish says. Now, Rabbi Yochanan brought many, many questions on Reish Lakish, some of which Reish Lakish was able to deflect. And in the end, he found a braita that said beferish. There is no difference between a Nazir Tameh who started off as a Nazir Tameh and a Nazir Tahar who became a Nazir Tameh. The only difference is in terms of the seventh day. And that means that since a Nazir who started off with a kosher Nazirus and then he became Tameh, he cannot count his last day of Tahira, which is the seventh day after he gets the Hazoya of the Pora Aduma. He can't count that day towards the beginning of his recount of his Nazirus, counting his Nazirus, because he has to wait until the next day in order to bring his Korbonas. Masha Enkein, a Nazir who started off and he was never Tahar, he can actually count that seventh day after he becomes Tahar towards his Nazirus, because he doesn't have the dinim of the Tumah, of the Korban Tumah, on the eighth day. But in every other way, they are exactly the same, which seems to show that Reish Lakish was wrong. And even though Reish Lakish tried to deflect that, it said in the end, Beferish in the Braita, that if a Nazir who started off as Tameh ended up being Megaleach, or Shor Seyayin, or Nitmala Meisim, he is in fact Loka, gets Malkus, which means that the Nazirus was Chal, without any further ado, and that showed conclusively that Reish Lakish was wrong. So that's what we ended up understanding yesterday. And the question was whether the words of Reish Lakish doesn't mean we should be dump him completely, but rather what we did is we reconstructed Reish Lakish to say something else. That of course, and this was what we had, the last words we read yesterday, was Omar Mar Baravashi, on the top of Yitzayin Amad Aleph, that obviously Reish Lakish agrees that Meichal Kulei Amalot Pligi Dechaylik. The Nazirut is Chal, 100%, even though the person was in the Beit HaKvarot when he said it. The only machlokas was that Reish Lakish held that when it came to the issue of Tumah, since he started off being Tameh, he would not get Malchus if you tell him, get out of there, and if you don't get out of there, you're going to be... No, not true. He still would not get Malchus because vis-a-vis Tumah, the Naziris has not yet completely gone into effect because he hasn't had an opportunity to be Tahar. So Rabbi Yochanan Savak even the Chai Leilaki. Well, the Naziris was Chal, so therefore he would be over on the Isra of Tumah the same way he would be over on Tiglachat and on Shtias Yayin. Whereas Rish Lakish Savar, Lo Laki, he wouldn't get Malchus, but definitely the Naziris went into effect immediately, and he's, of course, going to get Malchus on the other issues of the Naziris. That's what we were up to yesterday. And today, we want to review what Rabbi Yochanan had originally been reported as saying about Rish Lakish, because it turned out that Rish Lakish never could have said what he said. And therefore, we understand that the conversation, as we had recorded it originally, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish was a mistake. And that what we really understood now is the real thing that Rish Lakish has said. It's Chal, but there would be no Malchus specifically on the Dinim of Tumah. So now let's review, in that case, what were the questions that Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, did ask on Rish Lakish, now that we understand what Rish Lakish was really attempting to say. So now let's go over the things that we learned yesterday in the name of Rabbi Yochanan with our deeper understanding of Rish Lakish Ashit. Eitzei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So we have our Mishnah. Mishnah Zarbu Bebet HaKvarot Afilu HaYasham 30 Yom. So this person can spend his entire Nezirut of 30 days in that Bet HaKvarot, and it's not going to help him one little bit. In Olim Lo Min HaMinyan. And even if he goes and becomes Tameh with one of the things that would be Soter his Nezirut, remember, being in a Beit HaKvarot is not Soter Nezirut, surprisingly. It's Osir, but it doesn't cause you to have to bring a Korban Tumah or to be Soter Nezirut. We're going to be learning later on the list of all of the various things that are actually going to cause a Nazir to lose the days of his Nezirut. But being in a Beit HaKvarot is not one of them. In the event that he does go into the Beit HaKvarot, I mean, that he does get Tameh with one of the things that would cause him to lose his Nezirut, he still would not bring a Korban Tumah. Now, this is a little bit weird, says Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rish Lakish, because why is the Mishnah focusing on whether he would bring a Korban Tumah when there's a much more immediate issue, isn't there? I mean, the question is, would he get Malchus? And what it seems to be saying is, well, he wouldn't bring a Korban Tumah, but he would get Malchus. Now, according to Rish Lakish, isn't it important to tell us that, listen, he's not really yet a Nazir in terms of Tumah because he hasn't had a chance to begin his Naziris of Tyra. And therefore, he wouldn't even get Malchus. Forget about the question of whether he brings a Korban Tumah. So you see very clearly, says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, that the only focus that we have about the difference of somebody who is Makabel Naziris in the Beit HaKvarot is specifically this one point. Will he bring a Korban Tumah? And of course, I agree with you. No, he won't bring a Korban Tumah. I mean, it says that in the Mishnah. We're all agreed. Now, but where do you get off saying that he won't have any Chiyuvim on Tumah? I don't see that that's the point. It's much the opposite. Hamilke, lucky. He would get Malchus Aleh. Says Rish Lakish, you're right. In terms of the implication locally, right? If we don't look at the Mishnah as a holistic Mishnah, so you're right. You want to take out this particular line. I agree that the line is misleading. And in terms of this line per se, yes. Bedino delisne eno loke. Of course, it would have made more sense for the Mishnah to have said that he doesn't even get Malchus. He doesn't have to talk about the Korban Tumah. But remember that the Mishnah has a lot of dinim in it that you're ignoring. The Mishnah wants to continue to say in the Sefer that Mishum de Kaboyla, Mishnah is safer than in the event that the guy leaves the Beit HaKvarot, becomes Tahar, and then he would go back in. So then whatever days that he had kept that were not inside the Beit HaKvarot, whatever days that he had kept that were days of Tahara, they are not canceled by his going into the Beit HaKvarot. And they would be Olelo Min HaMinyan. And in the event, remember, it's very important to understand this Mishnah fully. It leaves out a lot of key words. And it put in the words, and in the event that he would actually have become Tameh to one of those Tumot Tameh that is Soser than his Zeros, that then he would have to bring a Korban Tumah. Now, wait a minute. I mean, that's a very important thing to note. that even though he is currently tamei and he's in the Beit HaKvarot, if he adds an exposure to the type of tumah that would be sosur as nazirus, then he does have to bring a korban tumah. That's a big chiddush. Now, the Mishnah was actually very anxious to let us know that chiddush, says Rish Lakish. Because of that, in the Reish of the Mishnah, it simply contrasts that particular point. Well, if he never got out of that Beit HaKvarot in the first place, he wouldn't bring a korban tumah even if he were exposed. We're not talking about Malkus right now. We're talking about the Korban Tuma, because we want to contrast it to the end of the Mishnah. In the end of the Mishnah, however, if he left the Beit HaKvarot, came back in after becoming Tar, and then he became exposed to something that would be Sosur as Nazirus, in that case, he would bring a Korban Tuma. That's what's more important. And because of that, just to keep the focus in the Mishnah parallel in the Reisha and the Seifa, so the Reisha also wrote the words Eino Mevi Korban Tuma, but don't jump to conclusions that that means he would get Malkus. Means nothing of the sort. Our focus right now is not about the Malkus. Our focus is, can you become Chayim, a Korban Tuma, even when you were previously to your exposure, prior to your exposure, you were already Tomei. And that depends whether you had started the Nazirus B'Tairus, as the Mishnah, in which case, yes, you could still be Chayim, a Korban Tuma, or whether you had originally been Mekabel, the Nazirus, and never left the status of Tuma then while you had been in the Beit HaKvarot. Okay, let's take a look at the next thing that Rabbi Yochanan brings as his raya. Gavi, are you coming to help me? Akiva, anybody coming to help? There we go. We got some serious weaponry here. Tashma. So we spoke about this additional proof that Rabbi Yochanan had brought, and now we're going to bring this proof again against the new version of Rish Lakish. There's no difference between a Nazir who made himself a Nazir while he was in the Beit HaKvarot, or a Nazir who started off as a typical Nazir and he was star and then he became Tamei. The only difference is, now dig this, if he had started off as being Tamei, he never had a chance to begin his Tahira, that there, on the seventh day, when he goes ahead and he finishes his hazayah of the mechatas, and he goes to the mikvah, there's nothing else for him to do. Because, remember, he's not chayev to bring a korban tumah. And therefore, he can begin counting his naziras right then and there, at the end of the seventh day, and that becomes the first day of his new naziras. However, if he had started off as a regular nazir, he was a Nazir Tor Shani Tma, he's not going to be able to count that day. Why? Because being originally Tahor, he is then going to have to bring a Korban on the next day, and therefore he cannot start. The din over there is that he does his Giluach on the seventh day after becoming Tahor with the Parah Aduma and with his Tefillah. Then on the next day he brings the Korbanos. But because of that, until the next day, he wouldn't be able to start. Okay, now that is what the Braisa said is the only difference between a Nazir who was a Tomei and started in the Beit HaKvarot, or a Nazir who came back after having been Tahor. Mashma clearly not like Rish Lakish, because this is the only difference is when do you count your new Naziris? But in terms of the Dinim, like Malkus, for it being exposed to Tuma, Hola Malkut, Zevezeh Shavin, and Rish Lakish said that no, actually, if you started off in the Beit HaKvarot, the dinim of Malkus to four dinim of Tuma never really kick in because you never had an opportunity to be a Nazir Tahor. So what is Rish Lakish going to do with this brisa? Omar Alei, says Rish Lakish, no, that's not the implication at all. The implication, excuse me, sir, is essentially one thing that you would have thought that a Nazir in a Beit HaKvarot would have not been considered to be a Nazir for anything. So I'm telling you, not true. He's a Nazir for Tiglachat, and he's a Nazir for Yayin. The only thing he's not a Nazir for is the question of Tuma. In that, they're not the same, but otherwise they're exactly the same. So vis-a-vis Tiglachat, or Shtias Yayin, Zevezeh Shavim. I don't understand what kind of weird answer is that, Rish Lakish. I mean, but the bottom line is, Are they the same when it comes to malchus or not? You're telling me they're not the same. Why don't you face up to the question, man? Don't start telling me it only means to imply that they are the same for haircuts and so on. But what are you going to do about the fact that it says there is no difference other than? You can't ignore that. If in reality, according to you, le'inin malchus mine, come on, tell me, admit it. You're telling me, okay, that's your bottom line, Rish Lakish. One of them does get malchus and one of them doesn't get malchus. How the heck could you say there's no difference between them and ignore that difference? Excuse me. So I don't understand your answer. I mean, then why doesn't it say that? Lisnaya, why doesn't the Braisa say that? Because, says Rish Lakish, the Braisa is not interested. You're missing the whole point. The point of the Braisa is to try to tell me what advantage there would be in terms of restarting the Naziras when you started it off in the Beit HaKvarot. That's a takana that you can start counting from the seventh day. Now, obviously, the Braisa is also saying that there's differences vis-a-vis Tumah, but there aren't differences vis-a-vis other things. And that's true. There aren't differences vis-a-vis the question of drinking wine or of cutting your hair. But that doesn't mean that the Braisa is supposedly telling you every difference. It never pretended to tell you every difference. It's coming to tell you, bitakante komairi. It's coming to tell you, what advantage do you have in starting your Naziris when you don't have to bring a korban to Naziris? Is that kind of, why would the Braisa be interested in telling me whether you get malchus or not if that's not what we're talking about? I want to know when we restart the Naziris. Don't tell me I have to come along now and tell you when to change the spark plugs in your car, for God's sakes. That's not what we're talking about. So, bikil kule, lo komairi. Why should I tell you about that? Okay, so let's see now the Braisa that seems to still be against Rish Lakish Tashma. Mishayata mevenazar, asula galeach v'lishtot yayin. Now look at this. Ve'im gilach or shatayayin or nitmalametim. Please note those last words. Nitmalametim. Hareze sofeg et arbaim. Now do you still have anything left to say, Rish Lakish? I don't want to embarrass you too much, but maybe we should just cut it here while you're cutting your losses to Yufta. You're right. This really blows Rish Lakish out of the water, and there's no way that he can deny the fact that there is Chiyav Malchus, even where you started out in the Beit HaKvarot, in the event that you expose yourself further to Tumah. Boy, Rav. Okay, so now we've been talking about the question of his starting off in the Beit HaKvarot and his exposing himself further to Tumah. So I have an interesting question for you. The very fact that he remains in the Beit HaKvarot is an exposure to Tumah, right? I mean, it's an ongoing exposure to Tumah, is it not? Albeit it's passive. Now, I understand he was already Tameh, but the halacha is that if you tell someone, let's take a case of somebody who became Tameh in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, through no fault of his own. He became Tameh in the Beit HaMikdash. We tell the guy, you've got to get out of here. You're in the Beit HaMikdash. You're not allowed to remain in the Beit HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. If he does remain in the Beit HaMikdash and he doesn't leave, he's going to become Chayev. He has to leave immediately. So in other words, the continued presence is considered to be the equivalent of an ongoing exposure of the Beit HaMikdash to his Tumah. So by his staying there, he is being Metameh the Mikdash, right? Now, when we're talking about the equivalent case of the Nazir who began his Naziris in the Beit HaKvarot. So we tell him, okay, buddy, you better get out of this Beit HaKvarot, because if you don't get out of this Beit HaKvarot, I can show you that Rish Lakish is wrong, and that in further exposure to Tumah, you are going to be mechayev yourself malchus, and your unwillingness to depart this Beit HaKvarot is a continued exposure of Rosh Nizro to Tumah. And therefore, you will become chayev malchus. So either you get the heck out of here, or we're going to beat you up. All right, so now the question is, yes, that definitely follows, because, I mean, we said that there is Tumah, and Rish Lakish had to admit that he was wrong. But my question, says Rava, is, how much is this similar to the din of Tumah in the Beit HaMikdash? The halacha of Tumah in the Beit HaMikdash is not a binary, instantaneous departure from the Beit HaMikdash by throwing some kind of magic potion, poof, out you go, in a puff of smoke from the Beit HaMikdash, or by running as fast as you can and taking the shortest possible route and getting out at Beis HaMikdash. Even if you don't take the shortest possible route out, you're still not going to be Chayav Malkus. You need to have delayed a certain shiur. And that certain shiur, I have this terrible feeling that Dr. Barry is trying to get out of listening to the remainder. He's sneaking into the bedroom. In the bedroom is a very dangerous thing called a bed. It's a beckoning bed. But it can't possibly beckon as much as the Daf Yomi. Absolutely not. I would say, start moving backwards, the other direction. Let's see. There we go. Okay. So, my question is, since the shiur of the amount of time that the Tomei in the Beit HaMikdash would stay, is the shiur Gavi b'chdei hishtachavaya? As long as it would take him to be mishtachave in the Beit HaMikdash, if he spends that amount of time without getting out of there, then he's going to be chayev. Does that time, is that like a shiur of time that defines the nature of exposure to tumah? It's halacha l'mashe b'Sinai. So if it's a universal concept of this is what lingering exposure to tumah is defined as, the shiur of hishtachavaya, so then it would apply to the nazir as well. Or is that a special din, as it sounds like hishtachavaya is really relevant to the Beit HaMikdash particularly? Is there a special din in the exposure of tumah to the Beit HaMikdash? Now remember that, of course, Naziris is seen as an extension of the dinim of the Mikdash. Remember, this is the Kedusha of the Nazir. This is presented to us in the context of Birkat Kohanim and in the context of the bringing of the Seita to the Beis HaMikdash. And it's one of the dinim of the extension of the Mikdash in Parshas Nasot. Now, I want to know whether this halacha of exposure over time, which is defined in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, b'chdei hishtachavaya, is that is called shihiya, lingering around, standing around. So is that also true about a nazir? Boy Rava, nazir v'hu b'beit hakivarot, mahu, boy shihiya l'malkut, olo. Does he need that shiur the same way he would in the Beit HaMikdash, or is it just that if he doesn't get out instantly, as quickly as he can, then he would be over on his Naziris and Michayim Malchus? Well, I'd like to understand the question first, Rav, if you don't mind. Well, what exactly is the case? Hechidon. Yilema da amre le lo tinzor. I mean, let's imagine a case. The guy's in the Beit HaKvarot now, and he's got open his little do-it-yourself Naziris book. Okay, so now everybody's hanging around there, and he's up to the point in the do-it-yourself Naziris, where to begin your Naziris, say, Hareini Nazir. All right, so this guy says, all right, so to begin my Naziris, stop, they say, don't do that. You are currently in a Beit HaKvarot, you idiot. You skipped the first chapter. Now, if you want to do that, you better get out of here and do not say, I am a Nazir. Because if you do, you're basically going to be actively creating Naziris in a Beit HaKvarot. And therefore, you will be Chayav Malkus. Now, why would you have to be Shoheh? You did an actual act, right? Lama Lishiya. So, you didn't listen to the Hatra'ah. You went ahead and you went bedavka, bemazed, and you brought a nazir, so to speak, into a Beit HaKvarot. I mean, the din of the Shehiyah is only where you didn't do anything active to make it possible. So that's not the case you're asking, correct, Rava? Okay, so let's see. What would the big case? I mean, Elamali Shehiyah. I mean, why nazir my time aloboy Shehiyah? They're called Matribe. If a nazir would walk in to a Beit HaKvarot, does he need Shehiyah? Of course not. They tell him, hey, don't go in there. That's a Beit HaKvarot. You'll get Tameh. The minute that he walks in, he doesn't need any Shehiyah because he got Hatra'ah. He ignored their Hatra'ah and he went in anyway. So same thing over here. What do I care whether he physically enters or he says those fateful words, I am here by another, while he's in the Beit HaKvarot? I believe it's exactly the same, Rabbi. So therefore, the case must be that actually what happened is that the Nazir helicoptered into the Beit HaKvarot, landed his helicopter. Now, he was not Tameh yet because he was completely sealed off. That's called Nichnas B'Shidat Teva U'Migdal. Somebody comes along, and the ground crew comes along and does him the favor of opening the door. No, stop! And there he goes, and the Tumah enters into his helicopter, and now he is a Nazir in the Beit HaKvarot. So somebody says, what? You're a Nazir? Get out of here, man! So now the question is that you're asking, at that point, if he doesn't run as quickly as his legs to carry him out of there, but he's not Shoheh, the Shir of Kadesh Tachavoya, that must be what you're asking. Okay, so now at last we understand the case. So your question, therefore, is, Mi Gamrina Chihiya Bebeit HaMikdash, is this special Aloha L'Moshe Misinai that we have as a Kabbalah, that there is such a thing as a Shir of Shihiya, which is the amount of exposure to Tuma that is Malkus, maybe that is specifically a din in the Beit HaMikdash. But other dinim of Tuma that have to do with exposure of Tuma, such as to a Nazir, it wouldn't apply. Avalav Roimo. Or, in fact, is even the concept of the Nazir in the Beit HaKvarot similar to the concept of somebody who had helicoptered into the Beit HaMikdash in this way? Teiko, we don't really have a clear raya to that issue. Now, another question, which, surprisingly, you'd think we definitely had figured this out already, but we haven't. We've been talking all along about whether you need a carbon tumah, right? And it's part of our prejudice that whenever we talk about a carbon tumah, it goes hand in hand with the tiglachas of a carbon tumah, in the same way that the carbones of Nazir Tahara also include the tiglachas. Sometimes we even refer to the whole ceremony, so to speak, as the tiglachas. That has created a very deep prejudice in us, okay? Because in this case, where there is no korban tumah, and we're all agreed on that, does that necessarily imply that there's no giluach on the seventh day? The guy became tahor after being in the Beit HaKvarot, and he wants to start as Naziris. We said he could start as Naziris on the seventh day, but does that mean he doesn't even need a giluach, or it just means he's not going to have to bring korbanos on the eighth day, and therefore he can do his giluach and start on the seventh day? Now, you never made that clear. It's sort of assumed that it's all one big thing, but it isn't, is it? So, boy, Ravashi, Nazar v'hu bebeit hakvarot, all that the Mishnah has been focusing on is whether you bring a korban tumah. I never talked about the din of the giluach. I want to know, to'un giluach olo. Or does it exactly the same halacha as the korban? Do we say that kiboy tiglacha, the only time that we find that the Torah talks about a tiglacha, is in a case of a regular nazir who became tameh? That's called a nazir tahor that was nitma. Because in that case, he was metame rosh nizro, as we said, and that whole big thing has been the way that somehow the Torah relates to it. You got the power coming through my hair. And at that moment, since you messed that up, so therefore you have to deal with it. I mean, look, if you take a look at the story of Shimshon, I mean, he sure seems to feel that the two things are deeply related, right? It's basically, it's that Nazir hair that does it all. So since it says over there, V'chiyamut meit alav v'peta pitom v'timei rosh nizro v'gilach rosho b'yom taharato, and so on and so forth. Okay. So I could say that that means you needed to be Tameh Rosh Nizro. Well, we talked about calling a guy Nazir Head, and that Nazir Head, if he's been Tameh, that Rosh Nizro, so then he's got a problem. But if he was already Tameh, a Tameh that made himself a Nazir was never a Tameh Rosh Nizro. He never had a Rosh Nizro. Odom Aloshna? Or, I don't know, I mean, that may sound good to me. Do we have any raya to this question? Says the Mishnah, well, our Mishnah seems to be a very good raya, no? I mean, look at the Mishnah. Look at the entire focus of the Mishnah is in terms of korban tumah. And it says of it there, Mishanazar, v'u bebet hakvarot, afilu hayasham shloshim yom, eno olalo min haminyan, and even in the event that he does become tameh in such a way that it would be a type of tumah that the Nazir would be soiser as Nazir is for, he still wouldn't be bringing Eno Mevi Korban Tumah. Now, what does that mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me. It means he doesn't bring a carbon to him, exactly what it says. I mean, but it avoids ever mentioning anything about he doesn't need to do giluach. I mean, the carbon tumah is on the eighth day. So we're talking about on the eighth day. He's got nothing more to do on the eighth day. That's all. That's what that b'risa was mashma. So it's mashma that you still do need to do the giluach, because otherwise it should have said that he doesn't even need to do the giluach. And then that would have included giluach and the korbanos, obviously, afterward. No, I mean, that doesn't add up to me. I mean, basically, the Mishnah could be explaining what's going on over here. It's telling me, by definition, look, if you don't need to bring korbanos, it means that there's no giluach ceremony. That's basically a point, no? I mean, if I'm telling you, you don't need to bring korbanos. So think to yourself, matam kama, matam eno mevi korban tumah. That's the carbon tumah is always linked in the pasuk to the process of the giluach. So, I mean, you're supposed to figure this out. Since there's no timei rosh nizro, therefore there's no carbon tumah because I don't do a giluach. That's the way I would read the Mishnah. So it's mishum de lo boy giluach. The whole point is that the Mishnah is telling me the results of the fact that there is no timei rosh nizro. So because of that, obviously, you don't bring korbanos. And look, I'll bring you a right. I mean, you know, I understand that you could argue on that because, I mean, it's my take on the Mishnah. And it's based on our assumption that we're really right about the Nuzerhead stuff, right? But take a look at the Braisa. The Braisa seems to be clearly saying that this is true. Barnea wants to illustrate the concept of Shehiya in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen. And that Shehiya would mean just simply standing still, doing like any crazy thing. You can stand on your hand. Or you could take a cup of coffee and you could sort of wave it in the sky and so on. As long as that shehiya takes longer than bichdei hishtach havoya, then if there was any problem of tumah, you would say, thank you, Rabbi Barnea, that excellent show and tell from very much into Barnea's neighborhood itself, which is, of course, the Beis HaMikdash, the Azorah, and so on. We're always happy to get one of your tours. So let's take a look at this braisa. Tashma. Ein bein tamei shenazar lenazir tohar shenitman. Here's our old standby over here. So there's no difference between the nazir who started off as normal nazir became tamei, or a nazir was in beit hakvarot and he made himself a nazir. What do we say the only difference was? That the tamei shenazar can count his seventh day towards the beginning of his next nazirut. Whereas if he was a Nazir Taro became Tamei, then he's going to have a problem because he's got to wait until he brings his Korbanos on the eighth day in order to be able to start counting his new Nazirut. Now, note that the Braisa makes no mention at all of requiring Tiglachat or not requiring Tiglachat. Apparently, they are both the same. So then that means that the person who made himself a Nazir while he was in the Beit HaKvaros is exactly the same as a Nazir Tahor who became Tamei, in which the din is what? On day seven. That after he becomes Tar, he is Begaleach. There you go. So we're saying that in terms of the seventh day, there's no difference. There's only difference on the eighth day. Well, not necessarily. I mean, maybe it's just trying to say, not that they're the same for Tiglachat, it's just trying to say they're the same in terms of Malkus if they expose themselves to Tumah. Excuse me? But what are you saying? That vis-a-vis Tiglachat, you're saying they're fundamentally different? That only the Nazir who started off as Tar is Megaleach, and the one who made himself a Nazir in the Beit HaKvarot is not Megaleach? How did the Braisa ignore that? Listenai, why doesn't it say so? Well, when the Braisa says his seventh day, I mean, he's basically talking about everything on the seventh day. So, Tana Shvi Shalo V'chomili. I mean, what it's saying is that if he was Mekabel Nazirus while he's Tamei, then all of the stuff that would normally take up his seventh day and his eighth day, none of it is important because he doesn't have to do anything else except become Tahar. That's what it's saying. It's saying the seventh day of his Tahara. Okay, what happens on the seventh day of his Tahara? Tahara? Yeah, well, he gets his second sprinkling, his Azoya from the Parah Aduma, and then he goes to the Mikvah. That's what happens on the seventh day. And nothing. It says you could then start your Naziris. What about all the Naziris stuff? What Naziris stuff? There is no Nazira stuff. That's the whole point that we're making over here. So anything that would normally delay you beyond the process of Tahira, which would mean the seventh day, your Giluach, another Karbonas of a Karbon of a Nazir Tam on the eighth day, none of that is relevant. We're only interested in your becoming Tahar. And that's what it means when it says the difference is the seventh day and all that is implied therein. Okay, how about this price? Tashma. Now, I know that it says that Hayamim Harishonim Yiplu. So if somebody becomes Tamei, so then it says that his first days fall, and then Veizir LaHashem et Yemei Nizro, Veivi Keves Ben Shnato LaHashem Hayamim Harishonim Yiplu Ki Tamei Nizro. Okay, so it says you got to do this again if you became Tamei. Now, it doesn't say that while you're Tameh, the days don't count, right? It just says the original days fall. But, I mean, obviously, if the original days fall, so then you can't say that the days that follow while you're still Tameh are going to count. So, okay, so Eimi Ela Yemei Tumato, She'in Olim Lo Min HaMinyan. So, obviously, the first days that you had, which are ruined, and any days which are currently in your state of tumas, of tumas maze, we're not going to be able to count them. So that's for sure. But what about tuma that has nothing to do with a maze? What about yemei chiluto? We talked about earlier what the din is about a mitzora. So if a nazir becomes a mitzora, so we said that as long as he's tumay with his tzara'at, that he is not going to be able to count those days towards his nazirut. How do we know that? Where does it say that? And the only thing that it says, as the Brisa points out, is that Yomim of Tumas Meis don't count. Obviously, they don't count if they actually ruin all the days that he did have. They don't count. That I'm not questioning. But I am questioning what the Makor is for Yomei Chiluto, the days that he's a Vadai Mitzora. So how do we know that we shouldn't count those days? Bidinu. Now, I mean, we could say that it's just logical. I mean, look, in the same way that Yemei Tumato force him to be Megaleach his hair and to bring a korban, and those days don't count, well, the same thing is true if a guy is a mitzora. He has to shave his hair. That's part of the mitzoras. I mean, forget about the naziras. As a mitzora, he's not going to be able to become tar unless he shaves his hair and he brings the korbanas of the mitzora, right? So, I mean, it's true, it's not exactly me. He has to shave all of his body here as opposed to his head and so on. But the point is, he's still going to require a tiglachat and a korban. So if we've already seen that days that are so bad for the nazir that they require him to shave and to bring a korban will not count towards his nazirut, when the source of that is tuma of mace, well, you have exactly the same situation, except that in this case, they're the same kind of idea. You're going to have to shave, and you're going to have to bring a korban, and the source is tuma, just not tumas mace, but tumas tzoras. So, I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, it's sort of like a simple mamatzinu. In the same way that we find that those kind of days don't count towards fulfillment of naziras in the event that they were catalyzed by exposure to a mace, those kind of days will not count in the event that they were catalyzed by tzoras. Why should it be different? That's my question. So, isn't that enough of a raya? So, just like Yemei Tumato, Ein Olim Lo Min HaMinyan, so too Yemei Chaluto, Ein Olim Lo Min HaMinyan. Oh, no, wait a minute, says the Braita. That's a very weak argument. I mean, I could tell you that there's a very obvious difference between the two. Hey, Lo Yimamrit Bimei Tumato. She came in the Vato Ben Atakodmin. I mean, the whole thing began. I love the way you forget the whole logic in the original statement. The whole thing begins by saying, if the Torah says that you're going to cancel any days that you did keep of the Naziras, then you certainly can't use the Tuma days to count towards the new Naziras. Remember that? Well, think about that for a minute. That's a fundamental difference between Tzoras and Tuma. Because when it comes to Tzoras, is there a din of Hayamim Arishonim Yiplu? No. And you kept, let's say, 29 days of the Naziris before you were discovered to have tzaraas. So what's the din? that then you have to keep your Naziris again? No, you keep one day of the Naziris. I mean, Lamaisi, you'll end up with the 30 days because of the Gidol Sear issues and so on. But in terms of the Melos of the Naziris, didn't cancel anything. So isn't that a very strong argument against a Mamatzinu? You're going to say, just like a days that end with the Giluach and a Karban are not going to count when it comes from Tumas Meis, so too will they not count if they come from Tumas Tzaraas, except for the unfortunate fact that when they come from Tumas Meis, they would actually have positively canceled any of the days that you had kept for your Naziris. And in the case of the Tzaraas, they would have had no impact on the days that you would have kept for your Naziris. So why the heck should they be the same in terms of counting them towards the next Naziris? I don't know what you're talking about. This whole thing is a ridiculous argument. So forget about the basis in Imam Etzino. See that inside? Lo, Imam Ritvi, Mei Tuma, Toshu, Ken, Mevatel, Be'em, Etan, Kod, Be'im. Obviously, there's a big difference. You Mei Tuma are going to cancel what was. And that would explain why, obviously, there can't be Olalo Min Aminyan for what will be. Are you going to say it's the same thing, Be'mei Chiluto, where Tzaraas is not Mevatel, Etan, Kod, Be'im? And therefore, who's to say that we shouldn't count the days of Tzaraas min haminyan? I like those glasses. Why do you keep pushing him away? My gosh, someone wants to listen to Daf Yomi, so just because he's wearing the long glasses, I mean, what is Jewish education coming to nowadays?
Maybe it's bad enough that he's distracting me.
Fine. So that can't be the basis. All right, all right, all right. That's not the basis, says the bride. So okay, you know what? I'm changing the logic. Forget about a Mamatzinu. No Mamatzinu. How about if we use a Kal V'Chomer? All right, here's my Kal V'Chomer. So I say like this: Uma Nazir Bekever. Aha! Now things start getting interesting over here because now we're bringing up our Nazir Bekever deal, right? And of course, this may give us some hints as to what Aloch is Legabe Giluach and a Nazir Bekever. So here's the deal. Uma Nazir Bekever, where the guy had been mekabel on the Naziris on himself while he was in a Beit HaKvarot. And what's the din over there? Now listen to this. Ro'ui l'tiglachat. Where over there, he's got that good old hair. He's got the power coming through his hair. And it's ready to be shaved off. All for the glorious sake of the Naziris, right? And even so, Ein olin lo min aminyan. We've shown you that you cannot count the yomim towards his naziris. Yimei chiluto she'ein ro'ui l'tiglachas. Now, if the guy was found to be a mitzora, I mean, he's waiting until he's cured of his tzoras, can the hair of a mitzora be used for a tiglachas of a nazir? No, they definitely cannot, because in order, if somebody is a mitzora, in order for him to be able to do the tiglachas for a naziris, he's first going to have to get rid of his tzaraas. And the only way they didn't get rid of his tzaraas would be if he does the whole purification. He needs to from tzaraas. Part of that purification, tahira from tzaraas, requires him to shave off all of his hair, including the hair of his head, which is going to mean, therefore, that's not usable for the nazir. So, if even a good old hair of suitable for Nazirus shaving is not going to allow him to count those days towards his new Nazirut, so then kosher kain, the Yemei Chiluto, where he'd never be able to use it for Nazirus anyway, lo kosher kain she'en olin lo min aminyan. Now that, I think that's a very good Kal V'Chomer. So, what's wrong with that? Okay, that's the Braisa. I don't know what's wrong with that. I don't care what's wrong with that. What I do care about is the fact that the Braisa has said, as a matter of obvious assumption, that the hair of a person who's a Nazir, who's in the Beit HaKvaros, is perfectly useful for shaving for a Nazir. And where is it useful for shaving for a Nazir? I'm assuming because he's going to need a Tiglachas, which answers your question, Rav Ashi. You see, from here, if you accept the Nazirut while you're in a Beit HaKvarot, you see that good old hair you had that you started with? It's going to come off, baby. And it's going to be considered to be Rosh Nizro. How do you like that? There's your answer. You do need Tiglachat. Ach. What answer is that? How do you know that that's what it means? Maybe it means he's got a good old head of hair which will serve him well when he finishes the Naziris at the end of this whole process and he does his Tiglachas of Tahira. After he goes out of the Beit HaKvaros, he becomes Tor, he starts saying it, and then he's got 30 days later, and then, that's what happens when you don't cover your... Yikes. I told you why I don't drink from a glass. Okay, let me get you back. Somehow the water has turned the screen a different size. Okay. Yes. All right, I hope nobody get wet over there. It's okay. So therefore, it may not mean that at all. It's referring to Tiglachas Tahira, by the way. Obviously, it's talking about Tiglachas Tahira. I mean, that's much more reasonable. Hachinami Mistavra. Because if you're telling me that we're talking about this hair is good for Tiglachas Tuma, so then why is it worse? You're telling me, Kavachomer, that you may Chiluto also require a Tiglachas for Tuma, don't they? So then, if that's the case, then why are you telling me, look, I mean, it's not Roy for Tiglachas. It is Roy for Tiglachas. I have to cut off the Mitzora's hair for its Tiglachas Tuma. Oh, come off it. What kind of silly thing is that? That's for a different Tuma. That's for the Tuma of Tzaras. We're not talking about Tuma of Tzaras. Hello. What we're talking about over here is Tiglachas, the Naziris Katani. We're not talking about any old Tiglachat. And therefore, we're talking about, in this case, not necessarily, I mean, I can't say that it isn't true, but you can't prove to me that it's got to be talking about Hachinami Mistavra. You don't have any proof, okay? That's the bottom line. I don't know whether he's referring to the Tiglachas of Tuma, Tiglachas of Tahira, but certainly it has nothing to do with the comparison to the Mitzora, because even if it were for the Tiglachas of Tuma, it would be for the Tiglachas of Tuma of Nezirut, and not for other Tiglachas of Tuma.